Happy New Year in the church year. Today we begin the new church year. This is the first week of Advent as we look forward to the celebration of our Lord's birth coming up at the end of this month. Our reading for this morning, our scripture lesson is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and then beginning with verse 23. And St. Paul writes to the congregation at Corinth and to all of God's church, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.' These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen." You may be seated. In this season of Advent, we often mark the three different ways and separate ways that Jesus comes into this world and has come to us. The first is his first arrival in Bethlehem when he was born of the Virgin Mary. And so Advent is a season as we prepare for that celebration and to think about how 2,000 plus years ago our Lord arrived in human flesh. But secondly, we also wait for his second coming when he comes back into this world at the end of time. And the last Sundays of the church year, we've been talking about that to a great degree. But thirdly, has to do with how does Jesus come to us today? How does the Son of God come and visit us today? And if you look closely at the Lord's Supper, which may seem like a strange text for us to begin Advent with, but if you look closely at the Lord's Supper, we find all three of these comings of Christ into the world present in this text. First of all, Jesus says, "This is my body and this is my blood," about the blessed bread and wine, "given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." He's reminding us there of his incarnation, his very flesh and blood that came into this world when he was conceived in the womb of Mary, born in Bethlehem, and then lived out his full life on the earth and ultimately died on the cross and rose again. So we just sang in that hymn about Christ when he comes, that his chariot, his humility, how true that is. To think that God himself in the heavens chose to become a person, how humbling that would be. And yet he did it in order to rescue us from our graves. So whenever we take the Lord's Supper, whenever we receive the Lord's Supper and eat, as Jesus said, "This is my body and this is my blood," in a very special sacramental way, that Christ there reminds us of his first coming, of his incarnation. And then also his second coming at the end of time, when our Lord promises to return for his church and to take us to our eternal home. St. Paul says, every time you celebrate the Lord's Supper, he says, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. You are looking forward to that day. You're waiting for that day to come. And you're looking forward to the day that he comes to take you out of this world. Just like the Israelites, the night of the Passover, when the angel of death was going to pass over Egypt, and they were protected by the blood of the lamb on their door, and they were eating the lamb that night, and they had their clothes ready to go to run and to leave, to head out to the promised land. So it is for Christians. When we eat the very Lamb of God in this meal, we are doing it prepared for God's deliverance, prepared for the day that our Lord will take us out of this earth and deliver us finally to heaven. But the third way that we talked about Christ coming and as how he comes to us today is the one I would like to especially focus on as we look at this text today. Because every time that you and I individually prepare for the Lord's Supper in the right way, we are preparing for how Christ comes to us and visits our hearts today. Now, a little bit about the church in Corinth. There were members of this church in Corinth that Paul is writing to who apparently were not taking the Lord's Supper very seriously. Some people were treating it like hors d'oeuvres before the meet, before the church service. He even says some people were going without any food, and other people were getting drunk, that they were taking the communion wine and already using it in an ungodly way. And you get the sense that they just weren't handling this the way God wanted, and that they were taking very lightly how they approached going to this special meal. Paul says, many of you are spiritually weak and sick among you, and many of you sleep, meaning spiritually you've fallen asleep. And he says, one remains hungry, another gets drunk. So God here gives very specific directives as to how Christians are to receive this meal, because this is this third way how Christ now comes to us even today. And he gives very specific directives about how we prepare. He says, every time you take the Lord's Supper, let a man or a woman examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. So God uses this meal to keep us ready for Christ's second coming, and he uses this meal to chastise us in our faith, to discipline us in our faith, and to keep us always ready. So it's very easy, I know, for me to kind of take the Lord's Supper lightly and to treat it like, oh, this is just something I'm going to do and I kind of have to do. But as Luther says, this is not child's play. This isn't child's play when we come to this sacred feast that our Savior has prepared for us. Today, on your calendars, you may notice, is Hanukkah, the day of Hanukkah. Now, as Christians, we often think, well, that just has to do with Jews. Well, Hanukkah actually has a lot to do with us as well. In fact, Jesus, more than likely with his parents, celebrated Hanukkah back in his day. About 167 years or so before Christ was born into the world, there was an evil king up to the north of Israel that trampled through the region where Jesus would be born someday. And he took over the country, and he brought his soldiers into the temple, and they desecrated the temple. They just polluted it. They threw down the altars that were there. They knocked over all the things. They pillaged things and stole things out of the temple. And knowing that the Jews, because of God's decree, felt that pigs were an unclean animal, just to rub it in the face of the Jews, this evil Syrian king brought in thousands of pigs into the temple and just let them go to the bathroom all over the place. And then he took them and slaughtered them on a different altar that he had made. Finally, under the great Maccabee family, there was a revolution among the Jewish people, and they drove out these invaders. And they finally went back into this polluted temple now. And they spent days and days and days. The priests came back in, and they reconsecrated everything, and they cleansed everything. They went down into every nook and cranny and cleaned out all of this pig excrement that was all over the place in the temple, to make sure that they got everything clean once again. And Hanukkah was the celebration of the relighting of the candles in the temple and rededicating the temple back to the glory of God, the God of the Old Testament, who is sending his son, the Messiah, someday. So Hanukkah is a day that we can also sort of celebrate as well, even today, as Christians. But I'd like to think of it this way for us. How does your heart as a temple to God, which is what God says, your body and heart as a temple, how does the Holy Spirit come and cleanse that today? What kind of pig garbage does he find in my mind and in my heart today? What kind of stinky, filthy, polluted excrement of sin does he find down inside of me when his word comes down into my heart? But through the preaching of his word and through the process of repentance, the Holy Spirit goes into every nook and cranny of the heart of the believer and cleanses our hearts through repentance and gets us ready for the arrival of the great King who is coming from heaven. You know, Christians are called upon to notice all of the external problems of sin that are out there in the world. And that's pretty easy to do. There's a lot of it. But our number one concern needs to always be here, right inside of me, right inside of you. That should be our number one priority, is to look at our own sinfulness and wickedness and let God come to us through his word and cleanse us of that wickedness. I'd like to read for you a little example of what that cleansing sounds like. This was from one of my religion students about 10 years ago or more. And she sent me an email after a religion class one day, and we were talking about this very subject. And she said this, I'll just read you her email. "I just wanted to thank you for our discussion in class today. When I was a little girl, I was always so conscious of my sin, but it seems that as I get older, I almost grow numb to sin." Isn't that true? "It has been bothering me," she says, "but today I feel like I was finally listening." May we always listen to that word of God that goes down into our hearts, into every nook and cranny. When my father was a young pastor up in northern Minnesota at his first call, there was a congregation he was serving that offered communion only twice a year. And by his work, he got them up to celebrating it at least once a month. But he also, he said, what really troubled him was that many of the young people did not go to communion because they felt that they weren't worthy of it, that they weren't good enough and pious enough to go to communion. And he kept saying to them, "That's exactly who this is for. The Lord's Supper is for people that realize they need God's forgiveness and his grace." I'm going to read you a paragraph out of the Formula of Concord. Listen to this. "True and worthy communicants," people that take communion, "are those timid, perturbed Christians, weak in faith, who are truly terrified because of their many and great sins, who consider themselves unworthy of this noble treasure. This sacrament was instituted and ordained primarily for communicants like this." Here's the strange thing about the ways of God's kingdom. The way that you are properly prepared, the way that you are spiritually healthy before God, is to realize how unhealthy you are and how badly you need the doctor, how badly you need Christ and the grace and the forgiveness of God. And that's what this meal is intended to do, to take the very body and blood that our Lord and Savior from heaven used to pay for every one of your sins, and he puts it into something tasty, bread and wine, and puts it on your tongue and says, "This is for you." It's to reassure you that your sins, have all been cleansed and forgiven by God. So every time in the Advent season or throughout the church year that we take the Lord's Supper, we should be thinking about how personalized God's grace has now become. That this fantastic plan of salvation worked out in Bethlehem, the one that's allowing us to wait for the Savior to return once again to take us to heaven, that very thing now comes down and touches your lips to reassure you that you're one of those children of God. Amen. Please rise for prayer. We pray. Lord Jesus Christ, in this Advent season, we pray that you would send your Holy Spirit into our hearts to cleanse us of our wickedness and to bring us to your manger side, where we see your wonderful grace and mercy and compassion. Help us to always be ready for your second coming, that we may someday be taken into the mansions of glory. We ask it in your saving name. Amen.